And now to Ecuador. In the capital, Quito, today, indigenous-led protesters began a national strike after President Lenin Moreno refused to give in to their demands to step down. Businesses were closed, the streets of Quito and other cities were empty of traffic but full of protesters. Since October 3rd, violent demonstrations have rocked Ecuador after President Moreno cut government subsidies on gasoline and diesel. Yesterday in Quito, protesters briefly burst through police lines and entered the parliament building.
Compatriotas, me trasladado a la ciudad de Guayaquil y he trasladado la sede.
In a short speech on Monday, President Moreno made a surprising announcement. His government was relocating from Quito to the coastal city of Guayaquil, nearly 300 miles away. The World's Maria Elena Romero has been reporting on the situation in Ecuador. So, Maria Elena, the protests have been massive. They've been violent. They've prompted Ecuador's president to relocate the government to another city. For many of us, this came out of the blue. How did this all start?
Well, Marco, last week, President Moreno announced a series of austerity measures, including the end of fuel subsidies that have been in place since the 1970s. And getting rid of those subsidies caused an immediate spike in gas and diesel prices. In fact, gas prices went up 100%.
Wow.
And this is why workers from the transportation sector, truckers and taxi drivers, went on strike for 2 days last week. Now, indigenous people are leading the protests.
So my understanding is that these fuel subsidies had been in place for the past 40 years. Why did President Moreno drop them?
So the cuts to the fuel subsidies are actually part of a larger austerity plan that Ecuador has to implement to comply with the International Monetary Fund. The IMF approved a $4.2 billion loan to Ecuador in March this year. So one of the first issues that President Moreno wanted to tackle was the $1.4 billion per year the government says it spends to keep gas prices low.
Now, it's been indigenous groups in Ecuador that have been leading these protests. Why are they front and center?
Basically because they fear they will be the most affected. I spoke to Andres Tapia, an indigenous leader from an organization called the Confederation of Indigenous Nationalities of Ecuador. He says that indigenous groups will continue to lead the protests because it is people like them in poor and rural communities in Ecuador that will see higher fuel prices and probably higher food prices as well, and that will leave them with less money to take care of their families.
So indigenous groups are not just the ones most likely affected by these this drop in subsidies. I gather they've actually really been mobilizing the masses and making their voices heard in Quito. What have these groups been doing exactly?
On Monday night, in fact, just after the president announced he was leaving Quito with his administration, thousands of indigenous protesters arrived walking. They arrived in buses, in cars, and they are vowing to stay until the gas subsidies are restored.
Now, here's some sound from yesterday. What's going on here, Maria Elena?
They marched through the streets of Quito, chanting, holding long sticks and carrying Ecuadorian flags and the rainbow indigenous flag. And even briefly, a group of protesters occupied Ecuador's parliament. Since last night, there is a curfew in areas close to the government buildings in Quito, and a national state of emergency remains in place.
So despite the demands for him to step down, President Lenin Moreno has completely rejected that, but he is on the back foot, it seems. What's next for him?
President Moreno has very low popularity ratings, but he has the backing of the business elite and middle-class Ecuadorians. Right now, he's saying that he's open for dialogue, and he's hoping that either the United Nations or the Catholic Church can mediate the crisis. He's defending his reforms. He says he's making up for years of neglect that occurred under former President Rafael Correa, who increased salaries of government workers and had social and infrastructure projects that actually increased the national deficit.
The World's Maria Elena Romero, thanks very much for explaining all of this.
Thank you, Marco.